Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy Thanksgiving to my listeners in the United States. I guess the rest of you can get on that too. I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving a little bit, and I'm going to talk about what else? Oh, I'm going to talk about my new car too. But I have some business I need to take care of first. That's what they call a tease in the radio business. I'll tell you what I'm going to talk about, but I'm not going to talk about it right now. I'm going to get to it later. Make sure you stay. Normally it would be to sit through the commercials, but I don't have any of those, unless you listen to this on the not the delay. But if you listen to the archive, then it starts off with a commercial. I apologize for that. The Blog Talk people have to make their money somehow. I have no control over what the commercial is anyway, and I didn't want to talk about this. I don't know why I even got started on it. So let's go back to what I did want to talk about, which is in my opening you heard me talk about offering sacred fire to the four directions, because when I do this show, I am in ceremony. It's a Native American ceremony. I have a Native American-based spirituality. I am not one of the first peoples by blood. I'm sure I have some connection somewhere, but you know, my parents aren't, my grandparents aren't, my great-grandparents aren't. So whatever Native blood I have would be more than three generations removed. I am adopted into a Native American spirituality called Neminha. So when I do this this ceremony, when I start, I'm in ceremony while I'm doing the show. And that means my words and actions are protected by national and international law protecting the religions of indigenous peoples. So I ask that you realize that before we start. So what I'm going to do, I like every once in a while, so I usually do that thing where I offer the fire to the four directions before the show, so it doesn't take up time. But every once in a while, I like to do it during the show, just so you know a little bit about what it is. And I realize you can't see it, so I'm going to talk you through it. Now, what can get tricky about this is that I'm wearing these headphones, and during the ceremony, I have to turn in a full circle. So that can get – last time I did it on the show, I had a big brimmin glass of liquid refreshment with ice in it, and I managed to knock it over while I was turning in my full circle, and then it became the Mud Toe Cleans Up the Ice show. Mud Toe Cleans Up the Ice show. I wasn't cleaning up an ice show. I've never had an ice show. Although I suppose someone must clean up the ice show after the ice show. But anyway, I digress. Time for sacred fire. And I have my incense, which this particular stick, I got this at an exposition, and it was made by Tibetan monks. And it is non-standard, meaning it does not fit into my various incense holders. So I've improvised using a film container. And if you've ever seen these, this is a little black plastic can that they used to put photographic film in. I used it to keep some keys in, and I've kept the keys in here as ballast to sort of hold up this long, tall stick of incense. So the stick of incense becomes a sacred fire. And this particular one I said is made by Tibetan monks, but it doesn't have to be made by Tibetan monks. It can be any. I usually get the incense from the head shop. But this particular one happens to be made by Tibetan monks. So I'm going to face the west. It's where we start in my particular tradition. And I'm going to fire it up with my completely traditional, wish you could see it, it's one of these big sort of lighters that you use for cookouts and such. We do embrace technology in my particular spirituality, and then you just let the incense, the flame burn just a bit until the incense gets glowing at the tip. Blow it out, and voila, sacred smoke. Now I hold up the incense to the west, and this is the west point of the medicine wheel in my tradition, or in the tradition that I follow. The West is represented by the buffalo, and in the West we seek counsel. So I hold the sacred smoke to the West. Now, being very careful, I turn to my right, so I'm facing the North. And in the north, we have the wolf and the heavenly beings and spirits. And I raise the incense to them. Now another 90-degree turn to the east. And in the east is the eagle and the seas far people. And I raise the incense to them. And now comes the tricky one. Actually, I'm going to cheat and turn in the opposite direction. So I am facing the south. And the south is the mouse. And the mouse represents looks within. And I raise smoke to them. Now I come back to the original position, facing west. Raising to the sky as high as I can to honor Sky Father. Dropping my hands to my waist, pointing towards the earth to honor Earth Mother. Holding the stick to my chest, to my heart, to honor the center of the self. And we're done. I'm going to put the sacred fire on the table, where it will continue to burn as we do the show. It smells nice. I like it. The Tibetan monks did a good job. Now I will sit at my computer, and we can start the show. How you doing? I am Mud Toe Sasquatch. This is my radio show, Mud Toe at Midnight, where I talk about whatever it pops into my head to talk about. As a Native American practitioner, my modality is the written and spoken word, which means that things come into my head and I say them or I write them. And my assumption is that someone somewhere needs to hear them. So I speak onto the internet and put the words out that way, and I am working towards getting my writings into a published form. I do put my writings out on the internet as well. And you can find those on my website, mudtoesasquatch.com. I do welcome you to have a look at that and comment on what you see. I do like to talk about at least once a week I put a blog entry up. It's generally on Mondays. This week it was late. I actually went out on Thanksgiving. And I did wish you a happy Thanksgiving. That's an American holiday for our United States holiday for our international listeners. Most of you probably know about it. But for those of you who don't, back in the olden days, I believe the year was 1621 or somewhere about thereabouts. Some white Europeans escaping from, this is the story, white Europeans escaping from religious intolerance in Europe came to the Americas, which was unsettled by white people at that time, and they ran into some trouble. They were having trouble making it, and the first peoples gave them a hand, helped them out, made sure they made it through the year. And at the end, again, this is the story. They had a big old celebration where the white people and the not so white people sat down in peace and shared a meal. And then not long after that, my ancestors killed their ancestors. But we don't need to go into that now. What's important is that today we celebrate it in November, the fourth Thursday of November. Everybody gets a day off from work. I didn't. I had to work. But most people get a day off from work, and you sit down with family, and you eat turkey, and you watch a football game, an American football game. And that, in a nutshell, is Thanksgiving. But at some point, you're supposed to talk about what you're thankful for. This is especially important to people who work 12-step programs, like myself. So we are always asked. I went to an AA meeting several times on Thanksgiving. I couldn't get to the one this year. Generally, they're breakfast-type meetings so everybody can get to, you know, wherever they need to get to for their family celebrations. But the centerpiece of a Thanksgiving 12-step meeting is always the gratitudes. What are you grateful for? So in my blog this week, I neglected to bring it up on my computer. I will do so now. I wrote a gratitude list. And I would just like to share it with you. started off that I am grateful for two other invitations to Thanksgiving celebrations, which I also must regretfully decline. I started off saying this is the first year since 1995 that I couldn't be at my family Thanksgiving because I was working. Two people found out I was going to be in town and not going home, and they invited me to their family celebrations, but because of my work, I couldn't go to those either. I am grateful for the opportunity to spend Thanksgiving with one of my clients and to be gainfully employed and modestly useful. I am grateful that with my recent schedule change, I will be able to be with the family for Christmas. I am grateful for Iggy and Papi Gino for their leak-stopping prowess. This goes back a bit. I had some leak problems here in the roof of the apartment, and they fixed it up for me. I am grateful for government assistance while extending my love and understanding to people who don't support it. I'm grateful for my lame duck car, which will carry me to work one last time today. I'm going to talk about that more here in a bit. I'm grateful that after five meals at Garcia's, that's my friend Iggy's restaurant, after five meals at Garcia's, you get one free. That has saved me more than once. And I'm grateful to Markel, that's Iggy's daughter, the chef at Garcia's, for making cilantro pulled pork for me last night, and to Heather, the bartender, for making my hot chocolate. I am grateful for snow and ice because it makes me appreciate sunshine and heat. I am grateful to my stories for keeping me sane and entertained. I am grateful for all the places within walking distance of my apartment that enhance my life so much. With apologies to my vegan brothers and sisters, I am grateful for bacon and eggs. And finally, I am grateful to Mudtoe Sasquatch for being the man that Todd S. hopes to become someday and for letting me use your name until that happens. I am Mudtoe. My birth name is Todd. I honor my birth name. I honor the name my parents gave me. It's on my driver's license anyway. Mudtoe Sasquatch is the name that I chose for myself, so just to clarify that. And then the piece ends, Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and go Lions. Now, generally, the blog entry is not quite so intensely personal as that. Only very rarely would I mention that, you know, I have another name other than Mudtoe Sasquatch. They're always personal at some level, and I'm always involved at some level, either as the storyteller or as one of the characters in the piece, one of the people who's acting in the piece, and often as both. And this is where that inspiration comes from, what it is that needs to be shared. What it is that needs to be shared is in that stuff somewhere. I don't know what part of it is. I don't know who it is who needs to see it. All I know is that I'm supposed to write it or supposed to speak it and put it out there in whatever way I can think of. So that's my calling, and I'm sticking to it. Okay. Now, let's see, what else did I want to say about that? Well, that's on mudtoesasquatch.com. You can check that out. Blog entries at least once a week. Your comments are most welcome. I don't always get to them right away because my website gets very heavily spammed. So I would appreciate it if you do leave a comment there that you put something in it so I can easily tell that you're actually writing about, you know, you're not trying to sell Viagra or anything. Write something that actually, I get a lot of spam that just says, I love your website. You know, it's very good, you know, very general stuff. Tell me what you liked about what I wrote. Tell me what you didn't like about what I wrote. You know, I don't mind constructive criticism. But if you want me to post your comments to the website, I have to approve comments before they show up on the website. I'll post it whether it's positive or negative, but I won't post it. Well, I won't post it if you do some, you know, idiot racist thing or something like that. But it won't be a matter of whether you like what I wrote or whether you didn't like what I wrote. You do need to put something in the text that lets me know that you are a real person, not a blogger or blogger. I'm a blogger, sort of. Not a spammer, is what I meant to say. Okay, let me look before we move on here. I've got a couple of comments on the Facebook page. Jenny Seek, who has a show here on withinsights.com, with on insights.com channel of Blog Talk Radio, I believe it's on. See, the shows keep moving around. That's why I don't want to tell you. Iggy's show and my show are the only ones that seem to stay put. The other ones float around all over the place. But if you're interested, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and look up With Insights Radio, and everything will be revealed there. And that's just sort of, that's nothing about this. There was another one. Maybe. Yes. We love to listen to Mudtoe look at his comments on his on his Facebook. No, that doesn't have anything to do with the show either. All right. So also, in addition to the website, I also have a Facebook page, Mudtoe Sasquatch. And you can contact me there, or you can also contact me on Gmail at mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com with anything you might care to say. And again, I love to hear from you because it gives me guidance in what I say on the show. Otherwise, I just sit here and ramble sort of the way I am now. So there's that. I talked a little about Thanksgiving. I need to talk about my car. I have, and long-time listeners will know, I have been driving a decrepit Buick Century for some time. I shouldn't say it that way. I don't want to run down the Buick Century. It's a 20-year-old car. So it's done great service. You know, it lasted for 20 years. I think that's pretty good by today's standards. It was a Buick. I liked it. It was originally my father's car, and he bought it. It was the first sort of luxury car he ever bought. And I don't know if that's quite true. I remember when he was very young, he said he had a Cadillac. But I'm not sure that, sort of the profiles of cars, the way we think of cars change over time. I think Cadillac was more of a muscle car at the time he had one than a luxury car. So, you know, Buick is not a Cadillac, but it is a nice car. It's a roomy car. It always performed well. I got it. Actually, my brother had it first, and he used it while he was attending college in West Virginia, and then while he was working in Tampa, Florida, so he put some heavy miles on it. And then when he moved to Chicago, he didn't need a car, so my father had it back for a while. And when my Pontiac bit the dust 2 years ago, I had a Pontiac Grand Am that was my bankruptcy car. I had had it for about 15 years. That's a different story. It was about to bite the dust, and the Buick, while it had started limping pretty badly, was in better condition than my Pontiac was. So my father traded me even up, and traded the Pontiac in on another car for himself. And I drove the Buick for 2 years. The last year being rather interesting. Those things where you say, I can't find the money in my budget to purchase a car, and yet I seem to find the money to keep my current car repaired. Except that I didn't. I had to accept a lot of help from my parents, which is sort of become the norm in my life now. But we had finally reached a point where it was, it's running back because my father has a mechanic back where I grew up and where they still live, who worked on the car and seemed to have a certain way with it, you know, getting it to run nicely, at least for a while. Now they got that I was running back there at least once a month and sometimes more often, just getting little things fixed and keeping the thing running. And it had gotten to a point, it was getting to where it was running so rough that I was reluctant to take it out on the freeway. You know, it's sort of freeway driving when you've got people all around you. My fear was that the car was just going to quit someday and I was going to be in the middle of a bunch of people. So I just avoid driving on the highway completely and drove, you know, say to work. I drove all the way to work on city streets, which makes it a lot longer drive. It was time. It was time to let the Buick go to her rest. So the timing was good. My brother just bought a new car for himself, and the car that my parents had loaned him wasn't available. So now I have it. It's a 1997 green Chevy Lumina. So I picked up 3 years on the Buick, and I've picked up about 40,000 miles on the odometer. But it's a car that just it's a cleaner car and it runs a lot better. So for at least another couple of years, I'll be covered. But I am concerned that my parents are running out of cars to give me as each particular one starts to fail. And you do need a car. I've contemplated. I tried to figure out, obviously, the job I have now, which is now a part-time job, but something else we need to talk about. The job that I have now, I have to have a car when I'm there because I work with developmentally disabled people in their homes, and if somebody needs to go to the emergency room, I need to be able to drive them. So even though I never followed it completely to the end, but I know the bus line goes to within at least a mile of where I work. Now, I would need to go a lot closer to make it practical to do that every day, but I mean, it's not even an option because I have to have the car there. And that made me worried having my Buick there, knowing it was not in a state of good repair, and that I might be stuck with one of our clients needing to go somewhere and then not being able to get them there because my car was dead. So it's good certainly good from that point of view. And I don't know. Maybe it'll help me get dates. Who knows? It is nice to have a car. It's nice to have that independence. And I've sort of railed against that at times. I don't know if I've railed against it, but the idea of everyone having a car. You know, here in the States where we're in love with our cars. Everybody's got to have one. Most families have two or three. My family had four until I just took one of them. Now they have three and I have one. But as I've always argued, you know, there's no reason for me. Most of the time your car is a paperweight. You know, just 95% of the time your car is just sitting there. It's a 6,000-pound lawn ornament. So why, you know, what would be so terrible? I mean, because it's people will hiss socialism when you say this. But, you know, why wouldn't you have, wouldn't it be more logical for two or three families to share a vehicle? But, you know, we're fiercely independent, we Americans. We each need to have our own vehicle. And I think of the waste of resources and of manpower that goes into producing all those vehicles. And of course, there's an industrial, three of them industrial behemoths here in the States, who require a certain baseline of support. You know, they have to sell a certain number of cars, or they can't stay in business. So they need to promote the idea that everybody needs to have a car, they need to get a new one every two or three years, or you're not a good American. So on that basis, I guess I'm not. But I do know that the feeling of independence, you know, of having a car and be able to just get in it and go wherever you want, would be hard to give up. I got to give you that. I got to give that to society. It would be very disconcerting to live without a vehicle, without that independence. I'd say at this point it's impossible because I need a car at my job. Now I talked last week about having a schedule change impending at work that I was going to lose one of my Tuesday shifts, either the afternoon one or the midnight one, and pick up a new shift on the weekends, which I was hoping was going to alleviate this zombiness that I was experiencing from working 36 out of 56 hours. So my supervisor called me and he told me about it, but he relieved me of both of my midnight shifts, not just one. And I mean, that's fine. I'm glad to be rid of them, but the problem is it takes me back to part-time. But I find I'm very calm about that because even at, you know, 84 hours per pay, you know, averaging 42 hours a week, 84 hours per pay, I still wasn't making enough money to pay my bills. it was kind of close. And then there's a sort of complacency that comes along with it. You know, well, so I can, okay, I'm close. You know, I can keep muddling through. Losing about a third of my hours is how it's going to work out. Losing about a third of my hours forces me to be more realistic about the situation. I mean, I definitely can't make ends meet for any length of time now. I mean, that was true before. It was just I was dying more slowly before. So it makes it more important for me to figure out how it is that I'm going to live beyond the next few months. And I have been in contact, as I said last week, with an agent to talk about my writing. She did accept a sample from me, and that sounds a little bit medical. I did send her a writing sample and some other things. She asked for a resume and also an explanation or just a description of why I like to write, which I provided her. I haven't heard back from her. Now, it is Thanksgiving week, so I'll be following up more aggressively next Monday. I did get an email back from her, but it was nothing more than a list of some other people's email addresses and an ad about green coffee. So I don't know if she sent that to me by accident or if those email addresses are somebody I'm going to need to contact, or she's trying to put something together. I don't know. So there wasn't any explanation sent. So hopefully I will hear back from her in the next couple of days. If not, I will get back in touch with her on Monday. Went and took a bunch of aptitude tests from the county. Let's see what kind of jobs they might be able to find me. And there's nothing, I wrote this on my Facebook, there's nothing that, well, I won't say nothing. Aptitude tests make you feel particularly incompetent. And there were, I mean, a few, and there were some of them that I was good at. You know, I scored high on vocabulary, and I scored high on reading comprehension, and I scored high on math. But hand-to-eye coordination, I was just a total wreck. And then, you know, they give you, I don't know if you've ever taken any of these tests before, they show you a model, and it's made up of like metal popsicle sticks with nuts and bolts in a sort of peculiar arrangement. You know, there's short ones, there's long ones, there's corner ones. And they give you an example to go by, and then they give you the parts, and you have to put the thing together. And the first time, I had to end up taking it apart. I had done such a bad job of trying to put it together, so they restarted the time for me. It's a time task. The second time, I ran out of time before I got it finished. And on the third attempt, I finally did get it done under the gun, or right under the wire, I mean. It was wobbly, but it was done. So I think we get a very clear idea of where my strengths and weaknesses lie, although, I mean, in that case, I just could have told them, look, you're not going to, you know, building, you know, small and you, my fingers and all that, to putting things together with my hands. Not my forte. Never has been. But that was tiring. It was like 4 hours worth of stuff, and then I went to work right from then. And that would have been disastrous if I had to do that midnight shift right after it, but thank goodness I didn't. So, some adjustments to be made as we go forward. And already we are down to our last moments together this week. So I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you will get in touch with me in the ways that I said before, all the various mudtoesasquatch.whatevers. There's mudtoesasquatch.com. There's mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. There's mudtoesasquatch on Facebook. I do urge you, please, please, to get in touch with me in one of those places and tell me what you think of the show. Other things you might like to hear me talk about, any questions you have, constructive criticism, I'm happy to hear it. Once again, thank you for joining me. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and I will talk to you next week. Have a great evening.